You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Saturday of the month of April. I believe last year we were blessed with five Saturdays. Not to say that there were 5 weeks in April in 2013, but there were five Saturdays, and so we had an extra week of Confederate History Month to work in. Confederate History Month can really continue all year, of course, and it should, and it does here, as far as I'm concerned, in our hearts and minds. But as far as the hour of each broadcast that is dedicated to all things Southern, we do that every April in honor of Confederate History Month, which is, of course, an officially recognized month by several Southern states. I hope you've enjoyed our coverage of it this year. I still maintain last year's coverage was very good. Keith Alexander was very good last year. He's always good. This year's coverage, I think, has been good. There's never been a bad Southern Confederate History Month, but I would say still, though, 2007 stands out in my mind. That was when, back in 2007, before we were nationally syndicated and picked up by the network when we transitioned into being a weekly show, back in 2007, we were still a daily show, meaning we were on Monday through Friday, so you can imagine how many shows we had. And that was actually the last year, 2007, was where we had an April where we were still going Monday through Friday. And maybe that's the reason it stands out more than some of these subsequent years. But 2007's Confederate History Month series perhaps was the best. We had so many notable guests on the show that year, and we, of course, had more time to work in more guests because, you know, you had five times the amount of programming to fill. And it's still available in the broadcast archive. So, if you're lamenting the fact that after this week, Confederate History Month's over until next year, don't worry. Because you can go back and listen to the archives of the 2007 programming that we had here on the Political Cesspool during the month of April. And it's still just as timely and just as contemporary as anything we could present to you this evening. Because, you know, you're talking about a period of time that has come and gone, sadly, with regards to the actual Confederacy, the Confederate States of America. And so, therefore, what we had to say in 2007 is still as fresh, as far as it goes, as anything we could say in 2014. So, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you go and you go to our archives and you go back to 07 and you can indulge in that and you can continue the party in May and beyond. It was in 2005, though, that this program received the National Dixie Defender Award, presented to us by the Sons of Confederate Veterans, presented to the Political Cesspool in appreciation of the International Sons of Confederate Veterans for outstanding contribution to the preservation of Confederate history. We have served, they say, the Sons of Confederate Veterans in an outstanding manner, and in doing so brought honor and dignity to ourselves and our forefathers. The Sons of Confederate Veterans is pleased to present this award in recognition of our service and achievements. We are true Southern gentlemen, they say, and we, the descendants of those men who wore gray, sincerely appreciate the efforts and unselfish actions of the Political Cesspool. And that was back in 2005. We were just getting started, still wet behind the ears in 05. July 2005 was when that award was presented to us, and it hangs here in the studio, along with a few other awards we've accumulated over the years, including my honorary Memphis City Councilman plaque and the certificate of recognition to the Political Cesspool from the City of Memphis in appreciation of outstanding contribution to the community. All very nice. Well, folks, it's always an honor, obviously, to me, being a descendant of a Confederate soldier, to be able to do this, to keep that memory alive and that culture alive, because it should live on forever and ever and ever. And our guest tonight is a man that's going to help us talk a little more about that, Michael Hill, president of the League of the South, Dr. Michael Hill. He's going to be coming up at the top of the next segment and will be with me for the remainder of the second hour. And then in the third hour tonight, I've got a lot of news stories I want to bring to your attention. So we're going to have a vast and varied show, truly a one-man show, in the third hour as I go it alone in bringing you the news. But really an honor for me. You know, I've shared on the show many times that my grandparents on both sides, and certainly their forebears, were from the state of Mississippi. And so I have that Mississippi blood in me. And even though I was born in Tennessee, my parents were born in Tennessee and they were first generation Tennesseans. It was Mississippi before that. Mississippi has such a rich Confederate history. Still, Mississippi today, God bless them, the only state that still has the Confederate flag as part of their official state flag. And it's such a rich cultural heritage. It's something that we should be proud of. You know, we can't buy into the lies of the establishment media that this is something shameful, this is something backwards. It's as righteous today as it ever was, and it'll be as righteous 100 years from now as it was 150 years ago when those brave Americans, those real Americans were fighting to preserve the American way of life. And had the opportunity to actually go, and I've shared this before, to the last Confederate burial when they raised the crew of the CSS Hunley in Charleston, South Carolina. It took them over 100 years to find that submarine, the first submarine ever to sink an enemy ship in naval warfare. And I got to go and lay cedar on the grave, the actual coffin of Lieutenant George Dixon. What a moving experience, folks. We'll be back with Michael Hill right after this.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, I'm very excited to welcome back a good friend of mine and yours to the broadcast as we wrap up our exclusive coverage of Confederate History Month 2014 here on the Political Cesspool radio program. Dr. J. Michael Hill of the great state of Alabama is the president of the League of the South and the author of Celtic Warfare and Fire and Sword. He's also a frequent lecturer on Southern cultural issues. Dr. Hill's work with the League of the South has been featured in the Washington Post, the New York Review of Books, the Journal of Higher Education, the Mobile Register, the Village Voice, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Wall Street Journal, the Nashville Tennessean, many other publications. He's a frequent guest on television and radio talk shows and has recently appeared on both the BBC Television and Fox News on behalf of the League of the South. Dr. Hill, thank you for joining us tonight as our final guest for Confederate History Month 2014.
James, it's always my pleasure to be with you.
Always great to have somebody with your accent on the show, too, I might add. Well, you know, I want to cover a lot of ground tonight. I want to talk about Confederate history. I want to talk about Confederate heroes. And I also want to talk about the future of the South in 2014 and beyond, if we can cover all that in the limited amount of time we have remaining in this hour. But first, I want to go back to an article that you wrote. I found it quite profound. We featured it the last two or three years on our website during the month of April. Why My Heart Is Still in Dixie, I believe, is the title. Give us the synopsis of that piece.
Well, you know, basically, I learned very, very early on when I was a boy that there were them and there were us. And I've never forgotten that. I know who I am, and I'm very proud to be who I am, and that's what the League stands for. We know who our people are, and we know who our people are not. And my heart will always be with my people, and that's basically what I'm talking about here. Because you know, Dixie is land. Obviously, you know, we have our states: Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, etc. But more importantly is, you know, we're a people. We're a nation in the biblical sense, and that's you know, my people. And people say, well, Dr. Hill, who are your people? Well, my people are white Southerners, and that's who the League stands for. And that's basically why my heart will always be in Dixie, is because Dixie is where my people are.
And you know what? Who could argue with that? And we talk about the double standards and how egregious they are. What you said, if you had said it as any other race or ethnicity of person, you would be, well, my God, Michael, you would be on every talk show. You would be a well-paid lecturer. You would be on news talk shows much more frequently than you are, and always in a favorable light. It goes without saying. I mean, that's not news to anyone. That's certainly not news to our audience. But the fact that someone perhaps would recoil to hear you say about matters pertaining to the interests of your family, and it be something that is wrong versus the fact that everyone else does it, and it's, as we always say, not only allowed but celebrated. Could you talk about that before we go back to 1861?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Every other group, every other racial group is encouraged to celebrate who they are. And, of course, there is that double standard you talked about. But I tell you this, James, they may recoil from it, but they better damn well get used to recoiling from it, because I'm not going to shut up, and neither is the league, and neither is a lot of other people out there that I know. You know, we're pushing what we call the Southern question, and that is, does what we do promote the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people? And the Southern people are who I just identified them as. And if they think they've heard something now, they don't know anything. It's just going to get louder and louder until we persuade the Southern people out there that what we're doing here is in their best interest.
And we're going to talk more about the current activism on the street and in the court of public opinion that the league is engaging in a little bit later on this hour. But God bless you for taking that righteous stand and for doing what everyone else is proud to do for their people. And certainly, I'm sure I speak for you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I appreciate that other people do that for themselves, and I don't seek to take away that right from them to do so. Nor will I allow them to silence me or make me feel as though I am doing something that I should feel guilty for speaking up in the defense of the interests, the unique cultural interests of my family.
Absolutely.
Pretty much it.
Same way. Absolutely.
Well, let's go back a little bit now and talk about Confederate history. As I shared with you on the phone, you know, in the confines of commercial talk radio, you only have a few minutes each show, and only, I guess, with all of the shows in April combined, you might have had 2 or 3 hours tops that we've been able to really dedicate to Confederate history and heritage. Not nearly enough to talk about a 4-year period and the antebellum period before that, and even the period after Reconstruction, all the way well into the 60s and 70s, where the Southern culture, it's still alive, obviously, today, but where it was still, you know, very much alive. You can't work that in. You can't cover it all. You're talking about a period of American history that changed the world, not just this country, but the world.
Sure.
But let's go back. A hard question. I believe I've asked you this before. Last week, we had a tour guide on from Elmwood Cemetery here in Memphis, which houses the graves of more Confederate generals than anywhere except for Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond. We talked about some of the more, I hate to use this word, but obscure Confederate heroes. I mean, certainly anybody who's a regular listener to this show, they'll know Forrest, they'll know Lee, they know Jackson, they know some of the quote-unquote big names, and those people, God knows, are worthy of remembrance, to say the least. I mean, you're talking about people like Nathan Bedford Forrest. I don't even know if that guy was human. I mean, his true life story, what he really did in life, his actions, or more like a mythological Greek god, and so certainly, you know, we revere those folks. But if you had to pick somebody that isn't perhaps a household name in the hearts and minds of attentive Southerners, who would it be?
Without a doubt, it would be Jack Henson.
Tell us about him.
Jack Henson was a native Kentuckian, I believe, in western Kentucky, just north of the Tennessee border, I believe. A very prosperous farmer. Sought to basically mind his own business during the war. Had several sons, and he was suspected of being a Confederate sympathizer, as were his sons suspected. The Yankees, once they occupied that part of Kentucky, captured his sons, decapitated them, put their heads at the edge of his property as a warning. At that point, Jack Henson laid down his tools, had himself a sniper rifle made, and bid his family adieu, went into the woods along the Tennessee River there, where its confluence is with the Ohio River, and raised holy hell with the Yankees as a sniper for 4 years, had well over 100 kills, and waged a one-man private war with a sniper rifle against the Yankees.
Yeah, and
he's my hero.
One man defending his family. I'll tell you, the savagery of the Union. You know, we're supposed to revere this. You know, the Republicans now have Lincoln Day dinners. That's their big gala every year, the Lincoln Day dinner. You know, you want to talk about war criminals. And people will say, oh, my God, Nathan Bedford Forrest, Fort Pillow. Well, he was acquitted of that by Sherman himself in a war crimes tribunal. But people today know better than the people back then, Michael, of course, that Forrest was a terrorist, they say. No, if you want to talk about true terrorism, you know, the Union, they patented it. I mean, you know, we all know about Sherman's March to the Sea. We'll talk more about this. And I want to, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Henson. I want to talk about another guy that had a similar story, not in terms of the heroism, but in terms of the way he was brutalized. And we'll talk about that and much more when we come back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. My esteemed guest and good friend, Dr. Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. Be sure to check him out, by the way, dixienet.org. Dixienet.org, there you can learn more information about the League's purpose, its mission, and most importantly, support their good work. I shared in the first segment of this hour, we'd gotten the National Dixie Defender Award from the Sons of Confederate Veterans for our work on the radio and some of the things we've done on behalf of Southern culture and its heroes. SCV's okay. You know, I know a lot of people that are in them. There's some good things and some bad things about it. But let me tell you, if you want a fighting organization, if you want to be on the front lines, League of the South is the way to go. DixieNet.org. You were talking with us last segment, Michael, about Mr. Henson. D.S. Job, another guy. You know, another guy that I talked about him last week a little bit, that, you know, just a forgotten. You don't want to say forgotten hero, because hopefully these guys are never forgotten, any of them, even to the unknown privates that,
exactly,
you know, lasted a day on the battlefield. You know, they all had more courage than anybody we have representing us in media and entertainment and God knows in Washington.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The lowest of the buck privates of the Confederate States of America were more men than anybody in Washington, D.C. today.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt about it. D.S. Job was another one, you know, the Confederate scout who was captured as he was on his run to deliver his dispatch and, you know, just suffered brutal torture. His eyes were gouged out, he dragged behind a galloping horse. They did a lot more to him than that, and he never betrayed his countrymen. He never gave up his orders. He never revealed any of the information that he was trusted with. I ask this question a lot, Dr. Hill, but what happened to the nation? And of course, when I talk about nation, I don't mean a plot of land. I mean a blood and soil people, a people connected by blood and soil. What happened to the nation that used to produce people like D.S. Job, the Confederate scout?
Well, you know, we're still here. You know, we still have that blood coursing through our veins. I think that a lot of Southerners just need to be slapped upside the head real hard and said, hey, it's okay to be who you are. You know, get some courage back in your bones here and get up and fight for your patrimony. I think that we still have those men here potentially. I know we have them in the League because I know some of the men that I've rubbed shoulders with, I would trust, you know, with my life. And I actually do trust them with my life. But they're still here, James. We just don't have enough of them. But look, the culture today that we have in America, and it's a foreign culture. It's a culture that's been foisted on us in part by the Yankees, but also in part by organized Jewry in Hollywood and New York. And it's basically to emasculate the Southern male.
Right,
we need
sure.
to basically look at them and say, go to hell, we're going to be who we are. So that's what we're encouraging Southerners to do. Is stand
you know,
up
and again,
who you are.
I agree. And if it was anyone else, we would have major Hollywood celebrities pouring money into our coffers. Yes, you should defend and protect and want to see survive your way of life. Of course, there are exceptions to that group. And even the Germans now don't get a bad of a rap as Southerners do because they've been pretty much emasculated. But yeah, I mean, white heterosexual Southern males, there are, you know, you want to talk about discrimination.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I've told people that even though we are discriminated against, one thing that we are not going to do that all the minorities and others do is become whiners. Man, we will pick ourselves up and we will dust ourselves off after we get knocked down and we'll go take care of our business as white Southern males. And we're not going to ask anybody for any favors. We're going to take back what is ours.
Well, I hope that you're right. Everyone should have a place to live. And I don't want to dominate. I don't want our, you know, as much as I love Southern culture, I don't want it to dominate the whole world. I just want a home of our own. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite and say that, you know, just because our culture, in my opinion, is superior, the Christian Western culture that gave birth to the Confederate States of America, just because I believe that it's superior, you know, I wouldn't presume to force the whole world to embrace it. But I do want our ancestral homelands to remain the way that they were.
Absolutely.
And I think that's natural and healthy. Now,
it is very healthy.
It wasn't just the men. You know, we want to salute the Southern women as well for the role they played during the war and beyond, and still to this day, of course. But there was one talking about forgotten people. I don't even know if this one had a name, but we call her the Southern Boadicea. I'm going to read this letter. I don't think there's anything to do with Southern history, Dr. Hill, that you don't know already, but for the benefit of those who perhaps haven't heard this before, it's a good one. On June 3rd, 1864, Robert Audrey of Company B, the 111th Illinois Infantry, mailed a letter to his father describing some of the recent action his unit had seen. So this is a Yankee soldier writing to his dad. Here's what he said. Dear Father, I take pen in hand to let you know that I am well. We're encamped near Dallas, Georgia, where we found the enemy in force on the 26th. The 111th was on the front line of the breastworks, and we drew a hot fire from the Rebs until about 4 o'clock when the enemy viciously charged our works. We poured hot fire into their ranks, and several times their lines broke, but they rallied again and came with guns blazing and flags waving. They fought like demons, and we cut them down like dogs. Many died, and dead and dying secessionists fell prisoner. I saw 3 or 4 dead rebel women in the heap of bodies. All had been shot down during the final rebel charge on our works. One woman charged within several rods of our works, waving the traitor flag and screaming vulgarities at us. She was shot 3 times, but still she came. She was finally killed by 2 shots fired almost simultaneously by our boys. Another she-devil shot her way through our breastworks with 2 large revolvers, dealing death to all in her path. She was shot several times with no apparent effect. When she ran out of ammunition, she pulled out the largest pig sticker I ever seen. It must have been 18 inches in the blade. When the corporal tried to shoot her, she kicked him in the face, smashing it quite severely. She then stabbed 3 boys and was about to decapitate a 4th when the lieutenant killed her. Without a doubt, this gal inflicted more damage to our line than any other Reb. If Bobby Lee were to fill the brigade of such fighters, I think that the Union prospects would be very gloomy indeed, for it would be hard to equal their ferocity and pluck. Our regimental losses were about 6 killed and 10 wounded, including Lieutenant Colonel Black, who was slightly wounded, and I believe in the thigh. Please give my regards to all inquiring friends and love to the family. Your devoted son, Robert Autry, 111th Illinois Regimental Volunteers. What emotions are elicited when you hear something like that, Dr. Hill?
Well, that sounds like a bunch of women I grew up with in North Alabama. Well, I'm makes me very proud. You know, we Southerners like to honor our women. You know, we don't like to put them up in the
that's right
in the front lines like that. But you know, sometimes I guess circumstances dictate that all hands on deck. You know, our ancestors, our Viking ancestors had shield maidens. And our Celtic ancestors had had women like Boudica that you mentioned there, so it's not unknown. It's not preferable. But our Southern women are gracious, are beautiful, and are tough.
That's right. No, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm not saying we should, you know, put women on the front line. That's one of the many problems the current military has today. But that was a story certainly unique with regards to perhaps people that are no longer remembered. And again, I don't even know what this
sure.
woman had. I mean, she certainly had a name, but it was not remembered by history.
Well, that's inspiring.
Absolutely. No, it is. It is. And, you know, that was when people fought for what they believed in and fought for what was right. And what's right then is still right today, and it'll be right long after even you or I are gone, Dr. Hill. But so we're talking about individuals now. A story from a battle that comes to your mind, the first thing to your mind that really embodies the Confederate spirit. What would you say?
Well,
there's so many. I mean, you know, Forrest Retreat from Shiloh, you know, comes to my mind. But, I mean, there's just so many you could draw from. I know it's probably a hard question to answer, but if you had to pick one or two.
Well, the one, I'm trying to think of the battle. I think it's the Battle of Bayou something. But the battle that Tom Green from Texas was involved in down along the Gulf Coast around the Louisiana-Texas border, and I can't for the life of me think of what the battle name of the battle was, but Tom Green basically had a few local soldiers and a bunch of militia and a bunch of just good old boys down there, and they defeated the Yankees, who were trying to come up one of the bayous or rivers there, either on the Texas, I think it was on the Texas side of the border there, between Texas and Louisiana. But Tom Green is always been one of my heroes because he was kind of a semi-irregular leader, and I kind of like those, like Quantrill and Bloody Bill Anderson.
Yep.
I like that.
I do, too. I mean, my name is James. My brother's name is Jesse, so you can probably figure out what's going on there.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, there you go. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Dr. Michael Hill of the League of the South.
Let's
stay tuned, folks.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Yeah?
Do you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Oh,
Welcome back, folks. As we wrap up Confederate History Month 2014, tragic, chilling song, beautiful song. They might have won the war, but they didn't take our spirit. That spirit is still alive today, and as we say about the Confederate Army, we were always outmanned and outsupplied, but never outfought. Dr. Michael Hill is our guest, and again, Dr. Hill, my goodness, you know, trying to talk about Confederate history, any individual, from the well-known to some of the people we were talking about in the last segment, would be worthy of an hour's worth of coverage in and of themselves. Sure. Any of the battles. Our first guest of the month this year was a writer by the name of Wilburn Sprayberry, and we were talking to him, and in his bio, he says he's a native Texan who spends his time apologizing for the Johnson and Bush administrations while trying to figure out how to win the Battle of Gettysburg. I mean, we could go and look at any of those battles and talk about what ifs and different scenarios. We could talk about this and nothing else for every minute of every show for the Political Cesspool going forward, and you would never cover it all. So we try to give people a very broad overview on the Confederacy during April and beyond, of course, but especially during April. A very broad question here for you, Dr. Hill, and then I want to talk about some of the more contemporary issues that the League of the South is currently engaged in, but I guess it's a simple question, but it's one that I guess needs to be asked in this day and age. What was the Confederate States of America fighting to preserve?
Well, first of all, it was fighting to preserve its people, its way of life, its territorial integrity, things that real men will stand up and fight for. And it was also fighting, I think, in a perverse way, an ironic way, rather, to prove a point. And that point was that Patrick Henry had been right all along, that, Patrick Henry didn't want to enter into a union with the Yankees. He didn't want the Constitution to be ratified by Virginia or any of the southern states. He said he smelt a rat, and he certainly did, a very big one. And our Confederate ancestors had to finally fight that battle that Patrick Henry and other Southerners of his generation knew that was coming. And that was their fight, James. We have our fight in our day. I always like to say that we in the League don't live in the past, but the past lives in us.
Ah, such a great answer. Great answer, and then a great statement there at the end. And certainly real men are still fighting. You know, as I said, this is a cause that lives on today. Perhaps it's become more underground because, unfortunately, you know, we talk about some of those folks we were featuring in the earlier in the show tonight, what they risked, you know, the sacrifice of blood and bone.
Sure.
And unfortunately, now you do have a lot of people. Certainly not the people with whom we enjoy company, but there are a lot of people who won't even take an insult. You know, they can't even take being called a name.
Sure.
And that'll make them run for cover. And perhaps in the privacy of their homes, they would say, yes, you know, you're right about this, and I agree, but I can't, you know, be...
Oh, yes, I hear that all the time.
You know what I'm talking about. But yeah, there are people out there, and hopefully those people come along because they're still our brothers. They need to be in the fight with us. But there are people out there fighting right now. The League of the South has a lot of them, and as far as I'm concerned, there is no Southern Heritage Organization that is doing more. DixieNet.org, folks, you can get the all the information for yourself, and I encourage you to research it. But tell us, Dr. Hill, you've been very active in the last year, especially in the last few months in particular. Tell us what's going on.
We've done we're getting very good at them, street demonstrations. Very well organized, professionally done street demonstrations now. We've been in Georgia twice, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Florida. We're coming to Alabama. We're going to have a rally on Friday the 9th of May at the Southern Poverty Law Center headquarters in Montgomery.
Yeah, I've heard about them.
Yes, and we invite all of your listeners to come and join us. It's Friday. I think it's up in the morning around 11 o'clock or so on Friday. Most of us will be coming in on Thursday, spending the night, getting ready to get up bright and early and take our show over to the Southern Poverty Law Center. But before that, we're going to have a counter demonstration in Washington, D.C. against the commies on May Day. The Maryland and Virginia League of the South chapters will do that. We've got a street demonstration coming up down in Wetumpka, Alabama in late June, and we've got one over in Gainesville, Georgia coming up in late August. And you can find out all about those on the league website and Facebook page. You know, the good thing about this, James, is we're learning how to do these things right in the streets. I mean, really professionally done.
Right.
We're bringing in just tons of young Southern nationalists, 20s and 30s, young men and women with a lot of energy, a lot of ideas, and a lot of dedication to the cause.
Well, it takes leadership to bring in new blood, and folks, he's telling you the truth. I've seen the pictures. Of course, you can find them at dixienet.org. Hunter Wallace has done a good job of documenting it at Occidental Descent as well. But this is stuff that's going on, and it's all well done. It's all tasteful. And it shows people that there are still a few folks with courage, and more than a few, certainly, but it's always good to stoke the embers because, as you said, Dr. Hill, this blood, this great treasure that we have in our blood, it still courses through our veins, and for some folks, it might need to be stoked a little bit, and you're doing the part there in a very high-profile way, and everywhere you go, you get media attention, and of course, we know that the mainstream media, the establishment media, you know, their job these days isn't to report the news, it's to enforce political correctness. So it's not always a favorable reaction that you draw from the media, but it is a favorable reaction you get from the people, and the people is what counts, and real Americans are what counts. And very high profile, though, is the work that you do, including a very noticeable billboard in Tallahassee, right?
Yes, we've got the billboard project, too. We've got our next one, which... You know, it basically said one thing, secede, then it had the League of the South and our web address in smaller letters underneath. But we have, and that was right in front of the Capitol in Tallahassee. The Florida State Chamber of Commerce came out with a succeed billboard to oppose ours.
Right, right.
All kinds of free publicity. Well, we have the same billboard going up in Montgomery in mid-May. And then we'll have another one going up in mid-July over just north of Atlanta around Gainesville, Georgia. And then who only knows from there?
Well, I guarantee you there will be more to come. And folks, when people actually do something, those people need to be supportive. And you've been very supportive with this, your generosity, your support of this program for the last 10 years. You know, it's been 10 years this fall we've been on the air.
Wow, I can't believe that, James.
10 years, and you've been on since the very beginning, Dr. Hill.
I know, I remember.
and hopefully many more to come.
I hope so.
But, you know, folks, support the people that are working on your behalf. I know not everybody right now is in a position to do that. And there are repercussions that come, and there is some discomfort that will come. You know, again, the sacrifices that we bear pale in comparison to that of our ancestors who, as I mentioned, sacrificed blood and bone quite literally. And if you're not in a position to where you can go out and do these things publicly, you can support the efforts privately. And I appreciate those who have done so with our work and certainly would encourage you to consider the League of the South at dixienet.org as well, particularly if you are of a Southern persuasion or sharing the ideals that were manifested by the Confederate States of America and those heroes that we've been talking about tonight and throughout the month of April. Dr. Hill, always an honor, and I look forward to the next time already.
Me too, James. It's always a pleasure and a lot of fun to be on your show with you. I'll do it any time that I'm able to do it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, my friend. It's gone by in the flash of an eye this evening. God bless you, and God bless your work, and God bless the League of the South.
God bless you, James, and God save the South.
You got it, my friend. Thank you. And folks, with that, I mean, I don't know if we could have done it better than that to wrap up Confederate History Month. Dr. Hill, always an all-star when he comes on the show. Sam Dixon, too, when it comes to really any issue with Sam, but he's a great defender of the South. And for those of you who donated to the political cesspool in our first quarter fundraising drive, which was, I guess, in March, you will have now received a copy of Race in the American Prospect, and there's a great essay in there from Sam Dixon entitled Race in the South. I would encourage you to read it. We're going to take a break. We're going to get to more news, lots of news, when the political cesspool returns with yours truly, James Edwards.
Another
another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.